Did you know that nearly 1 million people have been impacted by Be Broken Ministries just this year? Through radio, internet, and print media, we are reaching out to families across the nation struggling with pornography and sexual addiction. Hi, I'm Jonathan Daugherty, founder of Be Broken. And every day we are grateful for the opportunities to provide hope and healing to thousands of individuals and families. We cannot do what we do without your help. I want to ask you two questions as this year winds down. First, will you pray for us? We face significant spiritual obstacles and challenges in the fight for sexual purity, and we need your prayers. Second, would you consider sending a generous year-end donation to Be Broken? Your gift could provide the time and resources for a marriage to be restored or a life changed. To offer your prayer or financial gift, please call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit us online at BeBroken.com.
Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. So good to have you here with us. You know what? We are, just so you will know, we are a listener-supported broadcast, and as the year is coming to an end, if you really believe in what we're doing, and maybe you've been helped by some of the teaching and the education that we've brought through this radio broadcast, would you consider giving a year-end donation to our ministry? It's very simple to do. All you need to do is go to puresexradio.com. And right there on the homepage, there's a link there that just simply says make a donation. You can click on that, and there's several options of how you could give financially to our ministry. We would really appreciate that, and we hope you're having a great Christmas season and that you remember that the reason for this season is because God came near. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who would grow up, live a perfect life, be crucified on the cross for the sins you and I have committed. And He took the death that we deserved and gave us life. And what a great time to remember the great gift that God has given us in His Son.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
There you go. Please feel free to call in and make your comments regarding Stephen's singing. My name is Jonathan Daugherty.
But send money, please.
And that was Stephen that started singing. So how you doing, Stephen?
Doing well, thank you.
Stephen is in the holiday spirit, so we'll get started here. We've been talking in the last two broadcasts. This is the third broadcast of our three-part series on attachment. And in the first broadcast, we really looked specifically at the avoider style. And really focused in on that style of attachment and how the avoider kind of sets himself up in a superior position, thinking that he can do life without the need of anyone else and has learned to just avoid and detach and move away into isolation. Then last week, we looked at the four styles. We looked at all four styles of attachment, which the first one was secure attachment style, and that's really kind of the goal that we're trying to shoot for, and that is having a positive view of self and a positive view of others and really being okay with emotions, being okay with yourself and okay with others. Of course, we looked at the avoider style. The third style was the clinger style. That's a person who has a negative view of themselves and an overinflated view of others. So they kind of put themselves in an inferior position and must cling to others to get their validation and their worth. And then finally, the fourth style was that of a combination of between the avoider and the clinger. And this is a person that just has a negative view of themselves and a negative view of others. So they have a real hard time moving towards relationships. They, on one hand, they really want it and they cling, but then they realize that maybe through traumas in their history and their past, that things that should have been good, positive environments for them prove to be wrong because of the abuse. And so they immediately pull away. And so they're just kind of back and forth between this clinger and avoider.
Jonathan, it sounds like you've been paying attention.
That's right, yeah.
To the class on attachment. That was a great overview.
I also have notes in front of me, so that helps quite a bit. But this week, we're going to wrap it up, and I'm excited about this because we're going to kind of look at marriage, but in this idea of the four aspects of love, because attachment, if you kind of think of attachment kind of as the bedrock that's going to, out of which you're going to be able to grow either really healthy, positive, growth-oriented relationships, or, you know, might get stunted somewhere along the way. And so we want to look at this week. And Stephen, you're going to kind of go through these four aspects of love so that we can kind of see how can this apply, so to speak, in a marriage relationship.
Yes, and we have to give a credit where credit is due. And some of this material comes from the American Association of Christian Counselors, the presentation they did on attachment issues. So they presented four aspects that I thought were interesting. They said that in a healthy marriage, attachment is the foundation, as you were talking about. But they also said you have to have a sense of passion. And we all know that. That's chemistry. That's attraction to someone else. That's interest.
That's the spark.
Yes. And then the way it plays out in a relationship is between romance and physical sexuality. And the romance is the dating and the courting and the talking and the flowers. And then there's the actual physical contact, physical touch, you know, the sacred act of sex, if you will.
And, you know, all of that together in a marriage relationship is very important. And unfortunately, I think, I mean, especially as we have seen in our ministry, things such as pornography, all of the different lustful distractions that are in our culture really have, I think, served to diminish the value of passion, of real pure passion in a marriage relationship. It's cheapened the act of sex. It's,
wow.
it's kind of caused it to
yes.
be nothing more than a handshake when you talk about intercourse. And so I really, this particular aspect of love, I mean, I want to elevate it. I want it to be kind of put back on the pedestal that it deserves, that God created it to be.
Yes.
I mean, God celebrated it. Look in his word. If you look at the book of Song of Solomon, what a celebration of the beautiful, intimate act of sex between a husband and wife.
And I think this is a good blending because, you know, there's a line out there and it's said several different ways, but men talk to get sex and women give sex to have a good talk.
Right.
And if you think about it, I think this is an attempt to address those two. Romance is about her. Not exclusively. We got male romantics out there, but the physical need seems to be driven by him more. And so we have the passion and the romance. And when you put them together, you get this wholeness. You get this, you know, you don't have great sex without romance,
mm-hmm.
you know, without caring and courting and touching and gentleness. And then it's hard to really be really satisfied in a marriage with no sex but just romance.
Yeah.
You know, you got to bring these two together somehow in a marriage. And I really appreciate what you said about elevating this because I think this is a really important piece of this. And your ability to attach means stay close emotionally, work through issues, I think is part of being romantic.
Well, and I think when God instituted marriage, I mean, certainly instituted it in a sense that we would, and as we'll see in a minute, that we would be in this lifelong committed relationship of growing together. But also when he instituted, he said the two shall become one flesh. And there's a very powerful important aspect of this sexual union. And I realize that there, as we go through life and as we age, and maybe as there's illness and certain things like that, that intercourse might not always be the representation of this sexual union, but physical touch is so important as part of this passion, yes, connection of love in a relationship.
And I really want to wake up the guys out there to say, you know, you want to bless God? Well, bless your wife. You know, you want to do something for God? Love your wife well. You know, reach out to your wife. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next program. But so passion is very important. Number two, and remember, we're talking about three pieces built upon an attachment style that you both bring. It would be the friendship piece, this sense of companionship that we need someone else to go with us on this journey. And I don't know about you. I don't have, you know, my spouse died 2.5 years ago. And I don't want to go through the rest of life alone. You know, I don't want to do that. I want somebody to go with me. I want a friendship. Because I want to keep exploring the world and exploring life, and I want to have fun, and I want to laugh, and I want to play, and I want somebody that knows me. I want a friend.
Well, and you know, the Bible even says that that we should, and I'm going to use this word, but take it for what it's worth, that we pity the man who, when he falls, has no one there to pick him up. And that's friendship. Friendship is being able to, you know what, as we go through life, as we're stumbling through life, you know what, we've got some close, intimate people around us. And certainly in marriage, oh, you know, our spouse should be the closest. Our spouse should be the one that knows of all of our warts and all of our secrets and all of our struggles. And that is the person who has chosen to walk alongside of us. And we've chosen to walk alongside of them. And I think sometimes in marriage, you get into a kind of a rut, a ritual. You get into a pattern of activity that, yes, that causes you to lose the friendship aspect. It's like we're going to function in this relationship as in our whatever our husband role is and whatever our wife role is, but you lose that connection of friendship, of just saying, you know, I'm your friend. And when you fall, I'll pick you up. And when I fall, you pick me up.
And sometimes when you have young children, he laughs, he has a number of them crawling all over him all the time. But that distracts you from your being a couple, and that takes time, and they need to be loved, and you still have to fight for your friendship even through the raising children years.
Well, when you think about how your relationship started, certainly it had to have that spark, right? That passion spark. There was something that attracted you to your eventual spouse. There was some sort of spark. But how did you develop that relationship? How did you even start that relationship? You started through developing a friendship. Every relationship starts with some sort of friendly.
I thought
connection.
I just needed somebody to go out and eat with me. I didn't want to eat alone. I thought this was about eating together in different places, different food. Did I get this wrong or something?
Yeah, she had a very different idea about the whole thing.
Sorry. Were you done?
Yeah.
We're ready to go number three. There really has to be some sense of commitment to a great marriage, because it's the glue that holds the relationship together. That's one of the quotes that these guys said. I thought that was great. Through thick or thin, we are glued with permanent glue. I'm not leaving no matter what. And I tell you what, in my marriage, when my wife got breast cancer, and if I could be honest here, when she lost a breast and she had a scar, I had to decide, am I committed? Was I in for two or one, you know? And I decided I can be happy with one. The commitment stands. The person is more important. The commitment holds us together no matter what.
And see, I am this, you know, I talked a minute ago about elevating the passion, elevating the romance, elevating the sexual intimacy in a marriage to its proper place. I think this is another one of those components that has been cheapened, that has been drugged through the mud, that has been that it's something that says it's that marriage is about convenience and pleasure and not about commitment. And I think this needs to also be elevated. I feel like we need to recapture God's heart for the permanency of marriage, that he made it a covenant union, and that God takes marriage very seriously, not in a sense that he's angry or that he's out to punish all who've been divorced, but it never cheapens the value that he places on the commitment. I mean, God himself says that he hates divorce. And so he places a very yes. high value on commitment. And I think yes. when we're talking about love and when we're talking about attachment, how can you really have a healthy attachment if you leave a back door open? You're not really committed, are you? I mean, there's going to be a part of you that's not attached, right?
Yes. Well, and you know what's interesting? Talking about this commitment, it's almost like you have to be crazy with commitment.
Fanatical.
Because sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, she's not giving you what you need and you're not happy. Why should you stay? It's uncomfortable. She got sick. Or, that's not right. Or she spends too much time with her mother, or the kids need her and take her away. That's not right. I mean, you have to be point blank crazy about your commitment. And it's a spiritual thing. It makes no sense from the flesh standpoint. You just have to trust God enough to say, I don't care what, we're going to make it to the end.
Well, and I think about the, you know, one of the key phrases in the standard marriage vows that people take, for better or for worse.
There's not an other after that.
It's like for better or for worse. And I think a lot of times people maybe haven't thought through what they were saying.
Mm.
Because you know what? A lot of life can be the for worse part. And if we're saying I'm committed, I vow to be with you for better or for worse. You know, this was played out in an unbelievably tangible way for me with my wife, and how my wife, obviously in my history, I put her through the for worse part.
Mm.
And she had to come to a point where she had to decide, when I made that vow, did I make it for worse as well? And she showed me what this aspect of love looks like, commitment, that says, you know what? My commitment is more to the Lord in this relationship than it is simply to Jonathan.
Wow, that's a good point. That's right.
And so sometimes when we're in that stage where it's for worse, when life is kicking us in the teeth, when our spouse is kicking us in the teeth, we have to look to God and say, I am staying because I'm committed to you, Lord. And I'm staying because I want to honor you. And I'm staying because you value marriage very highly.
Wow.
And so it changes our perspective on how we're going to get through those periods. And the thing is that type of commitment, it fosters an environment where we can attach, where we can emotionally bond.
Yeah, it's that secure attaching environment where we're looking for security that we're going to get through this. And so we've been talking about passion, which is an important part of marriage, friendship, and commitment. And the guy that's an avoider out there, he's not much of a friend. And if he's passionate, he's closing his eyes and he's in a fantasy. He's not even looking at his wife and saying her name. And as far as commitment, he never really laid down that fantasy stuff and never said, I got to close that door and fully commit here. This is it. This is where I make life happen between my wife and myself, not my wife, myself, and my little supplemental side material.
Mm-hmm. There has to be a singular focus in marriage. I mean, to really have the opportunity for this sort of love to grow, you do have to, all distractions are put away. I mean, you really have to just narrow in and focus. You know, it's interesting that that Jesus himself said, you know, small is the gate and narrow is the path that leads to life. Now, obviously, he was talking about himself, but I think there's a principle in that, in terms of how God has set things up. if you think about where real, true satisfaction happens in life, it's on the narrow way. It's on a very focused path. It's not some just, hey, there's all these different ways and do what feels good. And just, it's all about how you believe and how you think and how you, whatever's good to you. There's a very narrow way to life. And there's a very narrow way, I think, to real, true, intimate satisfaction in your marriage. And it's by saying, my passion is going to be totally narrowed in and focused in only on my wife. My friendship, my core, my number one friend is going to be my wife. And my permanent commitment is to her alone. I'm not going to have a divided commitment among all these other things that want to distract.
Wow, that's good. Okay, you're saying all the right things. You get an A in class today. All right, let's go. The fourth one was attachment, because that says, I bring my style and you bring your style, and the goal is I'm going to be there for you and you're going to be there for me. And this is going to be a safe place where we can securely attach, because when I need you, I want to know you're there. And when I'm in confusion, I want you to understand me. And when I'm overwhelmed, I want you to extend a hand to me in the middle of my struggle and say, this is a safe place. This is like home base. You can always come home. And if, remember the old game of tag, this is home. And you run and you dart and you jump and you twist and you twirl and you squirm and you try to get away. And when you get to home base, you don't have to do anything because you're safe.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I've really appreciated about my wife, is that she has demonstrated this to me in terms of creating a truly a haven of peace in our home. So when I get home at the end of the day, and certainly some days, boy, I just feel like I've gone through the ringer, man. I just feel like I've gotten beat up, or that I'm kind of carrying all these other people's burdens, because as I hear people's stories and the crisis and the struggles their marriage is going through, man, my heart gets heavy. And so sometimes when the day is done, and you've certainly experienced this, I'm sure, as a counselor, as you just hear story after story of people in crisis and hurting. And so I go home, and my wife has helped to create this place where when I walk through that door, it's like I step into another world. I step into a place that I know is secure. I step into a place where I know, even if there's chaos going on, and certainly with three kids under the age of 10, I mean, I got chaos going on. but even in that environment, there's a peace throughout it, because there's not strife between us. We have solidified, you know, years ago, our commitment to one another, that, you know, we have eyes for only each other. There's no one else. Mm. Our friendship is growing. And so to step into that environment, I realize, okay, I'm home. I'm home. I can, all that other life, the world, everything else outside that door can stay out there. It'll be there tomorrow when I get to it. But
isn't that a great, what you're conveying right now, home, a place of comfort, a place of rest, where when I come home, I know you're going to be there for me, and you're accessible to me and available to me. And even if I'm confused by life, you're not confused, and you'll let me struggle through my confusion, because I don't want to come home and argue and fight. And you say, well, why'd you do that? And I told you to do this. And why don't you listen to me? And are you ever going to learn? And, you know, that was stupid. I don't want to hear that when I come home.
Well, and don't be deceived into thinking that there aren't very powerful emotions felt in our home. It's a safe place, and because of that safety, we are free to be angry and anxious and afraid and, you know, all of those strong emotions that sometimes mean we're not on the same page. We may not agree with each other, but at the end of it all, we're together. We're walking along on this journey, and we're together. And I think if we want to kind of boil down this whole talk on attachment, it's about togetherness. It really is about, you know, okay, with all of those emotions stirring up, with all of those things that come and try to distract and pull us away from the realities of love in life, and that God created us for relationship. At the end of the day, we look to our side and we realize we're together.
Yes, and even though we came in wounded, we've been working through our woundedness to that togetherness. And we are living in love. We're not in such conflict that we have to live off cheap lust.
Well, to close out this broadcast, I hope that this three-part series on attachment has helped maybe bring some insight maybe to whatever your particular style of attachment is. And I hope that it's inspired you to really move toward that secure attachment style, learning to be okay with your own emotions, learning to be okay with those around you, and especially for those of you who are married. I hope it's been something where you are going to want to do the hard work of moving toward your spouse, even when you don't feel like it, knowing that you've made a commitment for a lifetime, and that sometimes in that commitment there are challenges that come your way, but you're going to move toward each other, and you're going to walk this path together. If you'd like additional help, please contact us. That's what we're here for, is to help you get the help that you need. We're glad you've been with us this week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We hope to see you back here again next week.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Courage to connect. Are you sometimes afraid of what it takes to build solid relationships? If you are, you aren't alone. Many of us struggle with moving toward others in a transparent, honest way. We want to hide our weaknesses and accentuate our strengths. But God invites us to a different way of living, a way that involves risk with great reward. So be courageous and trust that God will sustain you as you move toward your loved ones in truth and grace. Gain the courage to connect today.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information.
That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.